Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. You're tuning in to the Deen Show. You've come to the right place to learn about Islam and the Muslims. And we are going to be talking about love. Everywhere you go, love, love, love. When you want to get in religion, it's all about love. Jesus love, this love, that love. What about Islam? Where's the love in Islam? Is Allah the creator about love, or is he about striking fear in your heart? You might have been programmed to believe something that's not true. So you've come to the Muslims to learn about Islam, and we're here to teach you. And we want to thank you for having an open heart and open mind. So the topic of today is Islam's message of love. Is there really love in Islam? Is it all about violence and blowing things up? And don't believe the hype. So today, all we ask is that you have an open heart and open mind. We're going to come back with former Christian minister, deacon, graduate from Harvard, the prestigious Harvard University, Dr. Gerald Dirks. He's back on the Deen Show to talk about Islam and love. Here, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum.
This is the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
And with you, brother.
How are you, Dr. Dirks?
Very fine, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you back here with us here on the Deen Show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, you have your own private section at thedeenshow.com. People can go and read about your biography to learn more about you and all the past shows that we've done. So we want to bring them up to speed on that, but we're going to get in straight to the topic, love. When people, they talk about religion, Christianity, more so, they attribute Christianity is all about love.
Yeah.
Just love this, love that, doesn't matter, just love it all. So now when people start to investigate and they see like, hey, I'm not really digging this whole Trinity thing. Mm-hmm. Things aren't making sense, God dying for my sins mm-hmm. and all that, but the love thing is just, you mm-hmm. know, penetrated the heart. So you come over here and you turn on the TV and things are blowing up here and there mm-hmm. and the hype is promoting that Islam is about violence. There's no love in Islam. How far is this from the truth, Dr. Dirks?
180 degrees.
180 degrees.
180 degrees from the truth. You know, there was an email circular that went around, mass email, a few years ago in which the claim was made that Allah or God, in his 99 names, there's no word for love.
Love.
And in fact, that's not true at all.
Yes.
One of the 99 names of God is Al-Wadud.
Al-Wadud.
Al-Wadud, which means the loving. And twice we have this in the Quran. In one point, we're told, ask your Lord to forgive you and turn towards him in repentance and obedience. For my Lord is full of forgiveness and loving tenderness. Right in the Quran.
Yes.
Or another example, your Lord has a firm grip. He initiates creation and restores life to the dead. He's the forgiving and loving. The Lord of the throne of glory and doer of all that he intends. Also from the Quran. So God is the loving. This is the message of Islam. And it's a direct love. A direct love from God to his creation. There's no intermediary. You know, it's direct. God loves you. Over and over again, we're told in the Quran, all the different groups that God loves. He loves those who do good, who are repentant and pure, who are mindful of him, who love him and follow Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who are good, who patiently persevere, who trust in him. These are all the people that God loves. He loves the fair judges. He loves those who are mindful of their obligations. He loves those who make themselves pure. All of these specifically listed in the Quran. He loves those who are even-handed, those who are tolerant. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an awful lot of love going on.
Even those who reject God, he's still giving them the air that they breathe, the sustenance that they need to survive.
Yes, yes. And this goes right into another of the 99 names of God that we have in Islam, which is Ar-Rahman,
the merciful,
or the compassionate.
Compassionate.
The compassionate. And you know, God is called the compassionate about 167 times in the Quran.
Wow.
This is a message that is repeated over and over and over again. And in fact, there's a key verse in the Quran that I think is worth reciting, which is from the 19th chapter of the Quran. And it's, say to them, if anyone goes astray, that's anyone.
Yes.
If anyone goes astray, the compassionate will hold out the rope of salvation to them up until the point they see the promised destruction or the coming of the hour. Stop and think about that a moment. God is the compassionate. And if we go astray, and we're human, we do, all of us at times, God literally throws out the rope of salvation directly to us. All we have to do is grab hold of it. There's a saying of Prophet Muhammad, which also really brings into focus this idea of God as the compassionate. Abdurrahman bin Auf reported that he heard the messenger of God, peace be upon him, say, God the Exalted said, I am Ar-Rahman, that is the compassionate. I created the womb, Rahim in Arabic, womb, and derive my own name out of it. Now again, you have to stop and think about this for a moment. What is the womb? You know, for the fetus, it supplies everything that is needed. It supplies shelter. It supplies warmth. It supplies nourishment. It supplies life itself.
The womb we're talking about, that's
yes,
where
you
came from, the womb.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And God takes his name, the compassionate, out of that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's compassion is literally womb-like, encompassing us with everything that we need.
Now, you definitely did your homework before, because you were a former Christian deacon.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated from the prestigious Harvard University.
Mm-hmm.
You had a master's in divinity,
mm-hmm.
so you knew the Bible well. You know the Bible well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a humble person, so you won't admit it, but I mean, we consider you a Christian Bible scholar. I mean,
student.
So you know the Bible well, but now to come over from a religion which is really emphasizing love and Jesus' love, and now the hype is that Islam isn't, but you're giving the proof that it is. You really did your homework.
Mm-hmm.
You really, I mean, you investigated. Obviously, you weren't led blindly just by your emotions. This was an intellectual, scientific decision that you made
mm-hmm.
to come to Islam.
Yes.
And was this one of the things that also led you, the mercy and compassion of the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah?
I think it would be very hard to accept a religion that doesn't have
yeah.
a loving God, a compassionate God,
yeah.
a merciful God.
Where do you think people get this misinformation now?
Well, I think there's, you know, a fairly systematic attempt
yeah.
by the media to portray Islam in a negative fashion. And I'm not saying they're doing that because they're anti-Islam.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, having a Muslim up on national media saying God is love, you know, that's not going to sell any newspapers.
Yeah.
That's not going to increase anybody's TV ratings. Having some fringe case get up and say something extremely controversial,
yeah.
that sells newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
That jacks up the TV ratings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the media simply doesn't give coverage to mainstream Muslims who are sharing this message.
Yeah.
That, you know, Islam is the religion of love. God is the loving in Islam.
Yes.
This is a central message of Islam. God is the loving. He is the compassionate. And he's also the merciful, Ar-Rahim, a third Arabic word here. And God is referred to in the Quran about 227 times as being the merciful. For example, we have in the Quran, then God replied, I bring my punishment to bear upon whomever I want, but my mercy extends over all things. I prescribe it for those who are mindful of me, who give in charity, and who believe in our signs. That's from the 7th chapter of the Quran. God's mercy extends over all things.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break there, and we'll be right back with more with Dr. Gerald Dirks here on The Dean Show. Welcome back to The Dean Show. We're talking with Dr. Gerald Dirks, former Christian deacon, minister, finished from the prestigious Harvard University, and we're talking about love and Islam's message of, when you look at the word Islam,
yes,
Islam, ISLAM, I shall love all mankind. I mean, we all believe that, you know, Islam, we learn from the creator of the heavens and earth, Allah, the most loving and merciful, that we are all born in original goodness.
Yes.
So we don't have any hate. We love every child that comes into this world. Every human being that's out there has a fresh start. But how do we balance it? Because I really feel this is a cop-out now when they push everything on the back of the most beloved messenger, one of the most beloved messengers, Jesus, peace be upon him. And now people, to indulge in their transgression, they just throw out love and just no accountability.
Well, obviously, in Islam, there is accountability.
Yeah.
It's not enough to say, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, we also have to be responsible for our actions and our behavior here on earth. And in terms of final judgment, we certainly believe as Muslims that you have to have the correct belief,
yes,
that is, belief in one God. But you also have to be accountable for the deeds that you have done on earth. In fact, there is a saying where we're told that the sins that we commit in terms of our relationship to God, those sins God will forgive if we are truly repentant. It's the sins we commit vis-a-vis each other that we need the forgiveness of our fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to reach out to them and ask for forgiveness and truly repent,
yes,
and mend our ways. So there is accountability. But the third factor that enters into this, of course, is God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have proper belief. You know, what sort of life did we live? And if those were the only two things on the scale, most of us would be in a lot of trouble. But the third thing we have is God's mercy.
Yes.
This overflowing mercy. The Quran tells us in chapter 2, God is kind and merciful to all people. God's mercy is there. All we have to do is ask for it, you know.
But the thing is, do most people, I mean, want it? God has manifested his love and mercy to us, but how many people are actually running towards the Creator? Because if you go to him a handspan, he comes to you an arm's length. But how many people are actually seeking him out?
Well, I think, and I'm speaking here switch hats a moment.
Yeah.
To my former profession in psychology,
yeah.
I think there is a deep spiritual yearning in people.
Definitely, definitely.
You know, and unfortunately, sometimes they don't know how to reach out to fill that spiritual void. But I think that void is there. They're feeling it. They're reaching out.
Definitely.
You know, the rapid growth of Islam in this country, mm-hmm, I think, is one example of that. Now, a moment ago, you referred to a very important saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, which is that God said, if you come closer to me by a span, which, yeah, is roughly from the thumb tip to the little fingertip, I'll come closer to you by a cubit, which is elbow to top of fingers, about 18 inches.
Yes.
And if you come closer to me by a cubit, I'll come closer to you by two outstretched arms. And if you come to me walking, I'll come to you running. You know, this is the love, the compassion, the mercy of God that is to be found in Islam. And again, I want to emphasize, this is a direct love from God to each individual person. Mm-hmm. It's a direct compassion from God to each individual person. Direct mercy from God to each individual person. Mm-hmm. You know, for God to love us, to be compassionate to us, to be merciful to us, Islam says there's no need for some sort of blood sacrifice on a cross. You know, this is love and mercy and compassion that God freely gives to us. And to receive God's forgiveness for whatever we've done, all we need to do is repent.
Tell us, how do we balance out? Because if we look back to the Bible, mm-hmm. and I used to drive down one street and they had on the bench, it was a Bible, a quote from Proverbs, I believe it was, says, fearing God is the beginning of wisdom.
Sure.
Now, how do we balance it out? Because God Almighty, as you have quoted with all the evidence that He is a God of mercy and love, and at the same time, how does someone, when they read, you know, having God consciousness and also being fearful of doing evil actions?
Sure.
How do we balance this out, would you say?
Well, I think we have to remember that in Islam, we're told God has 99 names or attributes.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about three of them. Al-Wadud, the loving, Ar-Rahman, the compassionate, Ar-Rahim, the merciful. And touch briefly on a fourth one, which is God is forgiveness, or the
yes.
forgiving. But God is more than that.
Yeah.
You know, there are the other names as well. God is justice. And we have to bear that in mind.
Yeah.
Simply saying, I believe, is not an automatic pathway to heaven
no.
in Islam.
You got to, talk is cheap.
Yeah, that's right. You have to walk the walk.
Walk the walk.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of like the carrot and the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make that compare? There's the reward, but now for the person who wants to maybe go ahead and hurt somebody, an innocent
mm-hmm.
person,
yeah.
he's got to fear the consequence on the day of judgment.
Oh, he has to answer for it.
So that's that complete balance in Islam.
Yeah.
There's the love. God is ready to accept you. He's the most loving. But don't you go near hurting other individuals, committing transgression in the land. That's a complete balance in Islam,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, there is that balance. But again, I do want to emphasize, you know, if you step over the line,
yeah, he's still
there for you.
He's still there for you.
You know, but you have to repent.
You gotta.
You know, you have to repent.
Yeah.
And you have to make the effort to mend your ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be sincere repentance.
Yeah. So I can't just go smack someone in the face, say, you know, I'm sorry, then come back, smack him again.
You have to make the effort to change your ways.
To change my ways.
Yeah.
If I'm stealing, stop stealing.
That's right.
If I'm committing transgression against people, backbiting, whatever, I gotta change and mend my ways
yes.
to become a better person,
yes.
isn't it? And that's what God Almighty wants of us. This makes sense. Continue, please. Share some more with us about the loving and merciful creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah.
Well, you know, a concept that we just briefly touched on is God is the forgiving. And we're told this approximately 87 times in the Quran, that God is the forgiving. For example, in the sixth chapter of the Quran, we're told, your Lord has written it upon His own nature to be merciful. So if any of you did evil deeds in ignorance, but then repented and improved your conduct, then He is forgiving and merciful. So forgiveness is there for anyone who seeks it. But again, that has to be an honest repentance.
Mm-hmm.
An honest repentance. It's not enough to simply say, I believe.
Yeah.
And here we can make a contrast with at least certain modes of Christianity.
Yeah.
In certain modes of Christianity, belief is it. Boom. You know, salvation by faith really doesn't matter what you do. But once you accept, then you're saved.
Yeah.
This But I want to stress this is certain modes of Christianity, not all versions of Christianity.
Before we go on a break, there's a wonderful saying of the last and final messenger, authentic hadith, just showing that God Almighty, I mean, to also add to what you said, like if you make a mistake, you come back to God. Even so much so, if your sins were to reach the heavens and the earth. Now, how many of us can acquire that many sins? Yeah. That's a lot of sins.
Yeah.
But there's a condition, a stipulation, not setting up partners with the God, the one God, not calling on his creation. Some people, they call on mighty messengers, you know, such as Jesus, peace be upon him, or icons and statues. Now, this is a big no-no. So you can have committed all these sins, you turn to God and you repent, but not setting up another God next to God. Can you just elaborate about on this for a second?
Well, again, as I said before, there, in Islam, there's really three components that we look at in terms of salvation. One is proper belief.
Yeah.
And of course, this means pure monotheism.
Pure monotheism.
One God only. The second aspect is proper behavior and conduct, not just in terms of our relationship with God, but also in terms of our relationship with our fellow man.
Yes.
And the third aspect then that enters in is, of course, God's abundant mercy.
Definitely. We'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
It's a way of life brought to us by the messenger, best of mankind. Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the Deen of Islam. This is the Deen of Islam.
Back here on The Deen Show, we're talking to Dr. Gerald Dirks, and we're talking about the love and mercy that Islam teaches, preaches, and is there for anyone who is seeking to get closer to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. There's one hadith that also comes to my mind of the mercy of the Creator when, and I'm sure you know this, when a woman had lost her child and she found him and she started to suckle the child. And the Prophet Muhammad said, look at that. He said, God Almighty, he has more love for his slaves, more love for you than this mother who is suckling her child.
Yes.
What do you say about that?
Alhamdulillah. This is the Islam's message of love.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. There's also a hadith, the saying of the Prophet, where we're told that with God there were 100 parts of mercy.
Yes.
And one of those 100 parts was bestowed upon all of creation, the other 99 parts remaining with God. Stop and think about this. If you were to tally up every act of mercy that has ever been done by any person, animal, etc., throughout all of creation, and extending on until the end of creation, that would only be 1/99th the amount of mercy that God is holding to bestow upon us.
Mm-hmm. How would you encourage people, those who are, some like you, were atypical Christians, who now they are seeing the proof and evidence that Islam provides, that it is indeed the truth from the one Creator? And we simply, I mean, explaining Islam simply means to acquire peace by submitting your will to the owner of peace, the one God. So they like what we have to say, and they're stimulated by such intellectuals like yourself who are coming to Islam. And now, but you know what? There's some hype out there. They get some misinformation. Just giving them some motivation. Now they again they tuned in again to the Deen Show, and here they're hearing opposite of, you know, a mean God, a vengeful God. To what we're giving the evidence, this is a merciful and loving God.
Yes.
Another enlightening factor. What motivation or encouragement do you give for those some of the atypical Christians that are out there like you were, who don't believe in the Trinity, who don't believe in the, you know, the death of a God on the cross, and you know they had this stumbling block because they thought, you know, Allah was, there's no love in the Quran or none of these things, but now they're hearing otherwise.
Well, one thing I would encourage them to do is go to the source in finding out about Islam. In other words, pick up a good, and I'm going to emphasize this, a good reliable translation of the Quran and begin reading it. See for yourself exactly what is said there.
The same way, okay, if you're going to go ahead and you want the best car that's out on the market, go to Consumer Reports, you're going to put everything together, you know, investigate, compare. So do some legwork.
Yeah.
The same way you would do for any material thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to look forward to, God willing, doing some more programs with
you.
Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. God willing,
we'll see you soon again. And thank you for tuning again into another episode of The Dean Show. You got to learn that Islam, I shall love all mankind, Islam is there. And it's a way of life that God Almighty, the Creator, sent through His last and final messenger. And all the messengers of God, they all taught Islam. And they all taught that the Creator is the most loving, the most merciful, and He is there. But the question is, are you ready to accept the way of life that He wants you to live? There's accountability. If you do bad, even if you've done so much up to the heavens and the earth, and you haven't set up a God next to God, even if you did that, God is still ready to accept your repentance. He is still ready to turn to you with the most loving and merciful attribute that He has. But it's up to you now to change and mend your ways. It's up to you to decide within yourself to live a righteous and good, wholesome life, and then turn to the most loving, the most merciful, and ask Him for the guidance, and then things shall be made clear. And we'll see you next time. Keep tuning in here to The Dean Show. Until then, peace be unto you.